This is Dr. Robert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, in Campo, California. Actually, in Campo, California. I am home again. I've traveled all over Nigeria, and all over London, and all over Switzerland, and I had a great and a wonderful time. And I went to other places that I don't recall, but you who were there remember me being there. We had a good time, didn't we? Yes, we did. I have been experiencing some interesting things, and I thought I'd share my thoughts on them with you today. And the interesting things are the art of counseling. Everybody thinks they know how to counsel. Everybody's listening to Oprah Winfrey these days and saying, what a magic lady, what a wonderful lady, spending her billions of dollars that she has so wonderfully earned and righteously earned, and spending it on making other people happy, which makes her happy, and that's a wonderful thing. But I think most people miss the point. They miss the point with Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey is doing perhaps the most amazing bit of counseling that has ever been done, because she is taking people with problems and giving them solutions. Now, she hasn't necessarily had them find their own solution, but she's given them solutions. But first she takes the problem and airs the problem and tells the world about the circumstances that are so ugly that had to be taken care of, about the circumstances that are so dreadful in this country or that country, of the nice things that people have done and they deserve to be rewarded for it. And really, that's not true. Nobody deserves to be rewarded for doing nice things. Nice things should be what we do because that's our nature. And if we deserve to be rewarded for nice things, then we're going to do things to get that reward. And they'll no longer really be nice things. Well, the art of counseling is that much the same way. Oprah Winfrey is, so to speak, the answer, the solution to these people who have problems, and helping them to accomplish great and wonderful good, and that's very beautiful. But now, what about you and what about me? Do we have people come to us asking for counseling, asking for advice, wanting us to tell them how to live their life and how to be happy and how to do things that are going to make them feel fulfilled and rewarded and make them a worthwhile person? Oh my. Don't we get those requests often? People come to us right and left and want us to give them the solution. They say they're unhappy because of this, because of this, because of this, and they give us the laundry list of their unhappiness. And so we say to them, hey, that's cool. Would you like another broken leg? And of course, what do? They say, you're stupid. Why are you wanting to give me another broken leg? Well, you're telling me about all your broken legs. And so I thought that was what you really like. That's what you want. No, I want to be whole and perfect. Well, then let's talk about being whole and perfect, shall we? Let's talk about being whole and perfect. I have a very precious friend, several of them, in fact, a dozen or maybe even more, who come to me constantly and say, they have this problem, they have that problem, and they'd like to solve it. And I say to them, that's great. That's great. Now, when do you want to solve it? Well, now, of course. When do you want to stop talking about the problem? Well, if you don't know what the problem is, you can't help me. Well, that's true. If I don't know what the problem is, I can't help you continue the problem. But if I don't know what the problem is, I can help you continue not knowing what the problem is, so that it's no longer in your life. A number of people have come with this situation. They have trouble, guys, they have trouble having a girlfriend. And they want this girlfriend to be a wonderful girl, to be a beautiful girl, to be a wonderful, fantastic girl. And I said, are you selecting a girl who is wonderful and fantastic? Oh, yes, yes. Are you wonderful and fantastic? Oh, yes, yes. Now, if you're selecting someone who's wonderful and fantastic, and you're wonderful and fantastic, then what's the problem? Well, she still likes other guys. Well, you knew that when you went out with her. If she didn't like other guys, you would never be in the picture, you know? You'd never been there. Well, she should stop liking other guys when I'm with her. But must her good taste for the male cease just because of you? What if you ceased? And there she'd be with nobody. So she looks at the world and enjoys all the beautiful people. Now, what agreement have you two made between yourself? Have you said, look, I want to be your boyfriend. I want to be your one and only true love. Is that okay with you? No, not really. I want to be available to have other friends. Well, if you're going to have other friends, I don't want you in my room. I want one woman. Well, when are you going to stop having other women in your world? If I have other men in my world, when are you going to stop having other women in your world? Well, what do you mean? Well, can you get rid of your mother? My mother? Your mother's a woman. She's a relationship you have. And you get tied to the apple strings, the apron strings with her, and you go to her and cry on her shoulder whenever you got a problem. And I go cry on my mom's shoulder when I have a problem. And my dad. My dad's always very understanding, you know. No. The art of counseling is not the art of dealing with problems. It's dealing with who a person thinks they are. If a person comes to us and says, I have a problem, we say, take it somewhere else. What is it you would like me to do in your life? Well, help me to be a more wonderful person, to be a more fulfilled person. Help me to like myself. Ooh, hey, that's kind of nice. Now, you have a car, and your car has a gas tank. And if you put gas in the gas tank, the car will go. If you put no gas in the gas tank, the car won't go. Yeah. One of my students sent me a little humorous item the other day. It was of this nun who was working in a convent hospital. And she drove to town to get some groceries. And on the way back, she had a problem. And she ran out of gas. So she went to the filling station, which was right nearby. And their gas can was out. So she couldn't use it. So she went back to her car, was creative. So there she saw a bedpan. And she took the bedpan, filled it up with gas, poured it in her car. But as she was doing this, there were two Jews that were watching her, and they were saying to themselves, I've heard that nuns can do wonderful things, but my goodness, does she think she's going to do that and pour it in the gas tank and it's going to run? If it does, I'm going to become a Catholic. Well, you see, if we look at appearances, the appearances to say, no way is urine in a bedpan going to make a car run. Well, it wasn't urine. It was good old gas. And she put it in there, and she made it run. But, you see, the solution to our problems is not always so
obvious,
or so normal, because it can be very unusual. I mean, that's what she had, that's what she used, that's what she did. And she was quite a creative girl. She wasn't a nun working in a hospital for nothing, you know. She did what had to be done when it had to be done. And so people come and they want us to give them our advice. Well, the best advice we can ever give to another person is none. The best advice we can ever give to another person is none. I say that again. The best advice we can ever give to another person is none. We cannot talk from our own personal experiences, even though you had just had an operation just like that person is going to have. You're different. You're different. Your body is different. Your life is different. Your fears and your joys and your anxieties and your whatevers are different. So the person says, what do you think I should do? Now, the only answer you can give them is the answer, what do you think you can do? What result do you want out of this? Okay. The nun wanted her car to run. She knew that she had to get some gas to put in it. She didn't have a container, so she used what she had. Right now, you. You want to be happy, or healthy, or wealthy, or wise, or otherwise. But whatever you want to be, you want to be. Okay. What is the principle to being happy? What is the principle to being healthy, wealthy, wise? What's the principle? The principle is simply, I like me. First, you have to put gas in the tank. And the tank of your consciousness is like any other gas tank, you know. It needs the fuel which it burns. And the fuel that your consciousness burns is, I like me. So, when you say, I like me, I like me, I like me, at first, it may not start because it ran out of gas and you're now getting it in the lines and but you keep going. You keep grinding the starter and running the gas through the lines until and then she starts and goes. And you say, wow. Now, if you had not persisted in grinding the starter and getting it started, you wouldn't have gone, even with gas in your tank. Now, a game I used to like to play when we were kids, in our teens, some had cars and some didn't. All the cars that they had were ancient cars even then. Mm-hmm. And miracles are what ran those cars most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so, whenever anybody would have a problem, everybody would get in the engine. And the engine wasn't all that big, but it was lots of room. And we all had our heads in there and our fannies sticking out and our hands. And we were wiggling this and wiggling that. And some people were making this observation, that observation. Well, by the time we were done, with all the fingers and all the hands and all the wrenches and gears that went on there, something happened, you know. Mm-hmm. And we put the hood down and said, okay, go. And we turned the starter, and it went. At that time, you had to turn with the crank, you know, and that was quite an experience, too. But it went. Now, why did it go? We went in there, and we did not go in there with the idea that it wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. We went in there with the idea that, hey, there's some little thing that needs a tightening up there. And we untightened and tightened everything. You know, it's like getting a whole overhaul job, you know, really nice. But it worked. But persistence, put the gas in the tank. I like me, I like me, I like me. And every solution that any person has in any area is solved. Because every solution is mental. And we think the solution is a physical thing. Well, it's not physical. It's a very mental thing because we've got to get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. We get ourselves out of the way so that the perfect solution can come through. And it does. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing about Oprah that makes her very precious to so many people is she is the mama figure. She's the mama figure. She gets in there and makes everything all right. Well, good. But Oprah does a few things that nobody knows about. What Oprah does, she puts a few little guarantees in there that they don't owe payments on a house they're no longer going to use, and they don't do this, and these are things of that, and then the money is there to pay the taxes and stuff like that. She won't lose that because of this or that. But little details that these people don't even think about. And they never think about, I give you a brand new mansion. It's worth $50 million. You say, whoa! And you, I'm going to live in that. And you are. With what? Mm-hmm. How are you going to keep the lights turned on? Mm-hmm. Just the lights. How are you going to keep the water turned on? How are you going to keep the sewer running? You know? How are you going to keep the cars filled with gas if you're going to use any? How are you going to do anything? Mm-hmm. It just costs money. I mean, $50 million place is no little thing, my goodness. Some of our major industrial buildings are less expensive than that, and a lot of upkeep. So, when you put the thought in motion, I like me, then all the obstacles get out of your way, and you can think clearly about what it is that you want to do. And then the solution is perfectly there. Everybody is not going to have an Oprah Winfrey who is going to think through all the solutions for them. Now, you thought, isn't that wonderful? She got a 14-bedroom house for 14 kids, and she works at Starbucks. Isn't that wonderful? She works at Starbucks. Well, she's barely feeding these kids as it is. Now she's got 14 rooms to clean, 14 rooms to heat and light. You know, 14 room, and taxes, and I, you know, Oprah gave her a pain in the neck, but Oprah didn't do that because Oprah thought ahead. She thought, how is she going to run that place with her income? Oprah didn't think about changing her job. That was what she knew how to do, and she's comfortable doing it. But she did take care of the details so that it could go on. Now, that's what, if parents could teach that to their children today, teach them how to handle money, how to take money and make it work, how to invest pennies like we did when I was a kid. And my friends who invested pennies, as their fathers wisely told them, are today millionaires. Why? Because just because they had it, they didn't spend it. They had it and they loved it and they looked at it as their program of life. And they had income to they had income to do things with, and that was lovely. Now, the art of counseling is a very serious art. And when you start going around giving advice to people of how you would do it, or how you think they should do it, be careful. You may be giving them a loaded gun that's going to kill them. And if that's what you want to do, go right ahead. Feel silly. But never give advice. Never tell another person what to do. Just ask them, hey, what do you think you'd like to do? Now, but be intelligent. What do you think you'd like to do? Is that the result you'd like to have? If you want somebody to like you, are you able to like yourself? Are you able to like them? Just the way they are, or are you going to marry them so you can change them? You know, that's the way women talk about men. And are you going to marry them to change them? If you do, then forget it. As the man that you married, that bright, charming, delightful, outgoing, creative person, once you get married and you cut him down into line, he won't be that same person. You say, well, where did that man go that I married? Well, you buried him. Yeah. And where'd that woman go that I married? Well, you treated her like trash. Or you treated her like a queen. She went on and became a queen. And that's good too. But we all are our own creators. We all do wonderful things. And so if we're going to counsel everyone, and I don't recommend it, but if we're going to counsel everyone, counsel them to think about it for themselves. Seriously, as to what results they want and what sort of attitude has to be put in motion to get it. Because that's what it's all about. No more, no less. And when you're ready for that, then miracles take place in your life. I know I'm ready for that. And I like that very much. So, my friends, have a lovely day, and know that I'm back here now for a while to stay.
Yes.
I love you. I love you.
Happy you're back.